This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
I've got that electricity charge inside, energy like the lightning strike. Take one spark and I will ignite, never stopping, I won't stand by.
Now that Human Resources Director Ryan Lee has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's really on top of his game. He even has his own hype song.
I'm the best beyond belief. I got strength and got the speed. I've got the
entire workforce, complete with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
No, nobody catching up. They're not fast or strong enough. I've got that electricity charging sense. Take one spark in.
I'm attracting and engaging the best people every step of the way.
Never stopping, I won't stand by.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Never stopping, I won't stand by.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Cuts to safety nets. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, February 10th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A report says the proposed budget from the White House would mean cuts to programs, including Medicaid and food stamps, over the next 10 years.
The Democrat presidential candidates are campaigning in New Hampshire before tomorrow's primary. Plus, hear why Joe Biden has gone viral again.
On the entertainment front, Parasite won Best Picture at the Oscars last night, the first foreign language film to take that honor.
And a new defense industry report card finds the U.S. is behind on cybersecurity.
A lot of those things that the industry was very blunt in saying, we're falling behind China and we're falling behind quickly.
Ben Wolfgang at the Washington Times on shortcomings for national defense. Democratic presidential candidates are working the crowds in New Hampshire ahead of tomorrow's primary. Registered Democrats and Republicans must vote in their own primaries. However, 42% of voters list themselves as undeclared and can therefore vote in either primary. Polls there show Pete Buttigieg, former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is in a battle for the top spot with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
I respect Senator Sanders, but at a moment like this, when the message goes out that you're either for a revolution or you must be for the status quo, most of us don't know where we fit and would rather be part of a movement that makes room for all of us.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren was on ABC's This Week.
Democrats and Republicans get that they're getting the short end of the stick. And what's the reason for that? It's corruption. It's a Washington that makes, it's a bunch of billionaires that make big campaign contributions or reach in their own pockets like Michael Bloomberg does.
Joe Biden, by the way, has faced questions following his loss in Iowa. In Hampton, New Hampshire yesterday, he went viral for calling a young woman a lying, dog-faced pony soldier, an apparent line from a John Wayne movie. Some measure of normalcy returned to China today as the government eased some restrictions on working during a coronavirus epidemic that has killed more than 900 people, most of them on the mainland. That death toll, by the way, is now greater than the number of people who died from SARS, the global epidemic from 2002 and 2003. The death toll of 97 yesterday was the largest in a single day since the outbreak was detected back in December. In the U.S., Acting Deputy Homeland Security Secretary Ken Cuccinelli was on Fox News.
That's why we put the travel restrictions in place that we did last week. They have been working effectively. We've screened over 20,000 people coming straight from China. And of those, only 10 have required quarantining or secondary care.
The virus, by the way, has spread to at least 27 countries and territories. In the U.S., the federal government plans to spend $66 million in its initial response to the coronavirus, which has sickened more than 37,000 people around the world. President Trump is expected to release a $4.8 trillion budget today that proposes sharp cuts in social safety net programs and foreign aid, but provides more money for defense and veterans. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Wall Street Journal says the proposal would lower non-defense spending by 5% to $590 billion, below the level agreed to in a two-year budget deal last summer. The plan would cut spending by $4.4 trillion over a decade. Of that, it targets $2 trillion in savings from mandatory spending programs, including $130 billion from changes to Medicare prescription drug pricing, $292 billion from safety net cuts, such as work requirements for Medicaid and food stamps, and $70 billion from disability benefits. Gordon.
In campaigning for the White House, you'll recall, President Trump had promised voters he would protect funding for Medicare and Medicaid. His new budget's proposals to find savings through changes to those programs reflect long-standing GOP efforts to reduce federal safety net spending. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. The vaunted American military-industrial machine is in decline and is quickly losing ground to China. That's the takeaway from defense leaders who are offering a new self-examination that lays out a host of shortcomings and warnings for U.S. national security. Ben Wolfgang at the Washington Times has a look at the report from the National Defense Industrial Association, a trade group for American defense contractors. Ben, what's up here?
The defense industry's leading trade group, National Defense Industrial Association, put out its first ever basically self-examination, a report card. They call it the Vital Signs Report. And I think a lot of us sort of in the defense journalism world were kind of surprised to see how critical they were basically of themselves. They gave themselves a C grade in a lot of categories, a failing grade for the state of the U.S. defense industry, which is kind of shocking on its face because, of course, the U.S. Military-industrial complex, as it's often derivatively called, has been sort of the leader in the world in terms of military production, military technology, for the better part of the past century. Mm. So it was kind of shocking to see when you dig into some of the, sort of the subcategories here, cybersecurity, the availability of skilled workers who know, who have the requisite skills to build bombs, to build tanks, to build planes, to run the computers that our military needs. A lot of those things, the industry was very blunt in saying, we're falling behind China, and we're falling behind quickly. Now, a lot of that kind of, Gordon, you and I have talked about before, sort of the strategic and structural disadvantages that the U.S. has when it comes to competing with China in some of these areas, particularly when you're competing with a communist authoritarian regime that doesn't have the same respect for intellectual property, environmental concerns, labor laws, all of that stuff. It can be kind of tough to compete price-wise and workforce-wise, and I think that's kind of what we're starting to see here. And the industry, to give them credit, they were more upfront and honest about the problems and challenges they face, and I think a lot of us expected them to be.
So how does this report card from the National Defense Industrial Association square with what President Trump talks about when he says the U.S. military has been rebuilt and it's, still the most powerful and best in the world?
That really is the question, Gordon. I mean, when you kind of boil it down, it's when you get in sort of get under that top layer is where the questions arise, because everybody agrees, and defense industry leaders that I talked to yesterday about this report are very, quick and vehement to point out that, look, we still have, nobody should misunderstand, we still have the most powerful military in the world. We're still capable, we believe, of winning any conflict, whether that's in the Middle East or whether it's a bigger, broader conflict with China down the road. I think that where the problem is sort of a disconnect between what you hear President Trump talking about and what you hear the defense industry talking about now is sort of the long-term indicators. As technology advances and things become more complex, and there's more of a focus on cybersecurity, more of a focus on technology, more of a focus on computers and those aspects of the defense industrial base, that's where we potentially have a long-term problem. I mean, our fighting men and women, our guns, our bombs, our planes, our tanks right now are certainly superior to anybody in the world. But, as we kind of move further in the 21st century here and things become more complex, there's a lot of work to be done to kind of keep up with that 21st century conflict.
We're speaking with Ben Wolfgang, Pentagon correspondent at the Washington Times. His piece is called Defense Industry Report Card Finds That U.S. Lags on Cybersecurity. Does the NDIA have something to gain here by putting out a report like this? Are they after more money, like to I don't know, for solutions or something like that?
Absolutely. I mean, not to sound too cynical here, Gordon, but of course there's another side to this coin, as there often is. I mean, one of the categories that this report card breaks down is supply chain, competition, and budgetary certainty is one of the things. They gave themselves, a 63, a failing grade in one of the categories in terms of budgetary certainty and these companies being able to make long-term plans based on having the certainty of what funding levels are going to be. That's been a constant problem over the past few years.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Wolfgang at the Washington Times. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, China continues to report new virus cases, possibly denting optimism that disease control measures, including isolating major cities, might be working. While Japan reported dozens of new cases aboard a quarantine cruise ship, the mainland death toll has risen to over 900 and more than 40,000 people have been infected. The operator of a cruise ship quarantined near Tokyo says an additional 66 cases have been found aboard. Number two.
I'm ready to drink tonight. So.
In a milestone win, Bong Joon-ho's devious class satire Parasite became the first non-English language film to win Best Picture in the 92-year history of the Academy Awards. Parasite took Hollywood's top prize last night, along with awards for Best Director, Best International Film, and Best Screenplay. All of the acting winners, Brad Pitt, Renee Zellweger, Joaquin Phoenix, and Laura Dern, went as expected. Number three, Pete Buttigieg has been on defense as his Democratic presidential rivals attacked him on everything from his struggle to connect with black voters to accepting campaign contributions from large donors in an effort to blunt any momentum heading into tomorrow's New Hampshire primary. Bernie Sanders blasted Buttigieg for taking contributions from the very wealthy. Elizabeth Warren voiced similar criticism. Elsewhere, President Trump's preparing a $4.8 trillion budget plan that rehashes previously rejected spending cuts while leaving Social Security and Medicare benefits untouched. Trump's fiscal 2021 budget plan, to be released today, seeks to wrestle trillion-dollar-plus deficits into balance after 15 years. It isn't likely to generate a serious Washington dialogue about what to do, if anything, this election year about entrenched fiscal problems that have deficits surging despite a healthy economy.
I can help you find it. Seriously. I know the East End better than anybody. You want this diamond back? I'm your gal.
Another DC Comics-based movie is perched at the top of the box office list. Birds of Prey didn't have a stellar opening, but its first weekend's $33.3 million in ticket sales were enough to vault it into the number one spot. Number two at the box office, Bad Boys for Life, 1917, was third.
All right, thank you, Jen. It is 22 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. Just because a person isn't so great with money doesn't mean you shouldn't date them, right? Well, there's some evidence to suggest that credit scores are important to a relationship. Here's Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. Katie, set this up.
There was some surveys hitting my desk recently. One of them was that about half of Americans say they wouldn't marry somebody with a bad credit score. Another one was about 4 in 10 people said that knowing someone's credit score would impact whether or not they dated the person. And I thought, well, most people's response to that is, oh, well, that really sounds shallow, but when you dig into the research, your credit score predicts a lot, and it can predict how likely it is that you will get divorced.
That's a thing now, right? Because 25 years ago, we weren't carrying the same amount of student debt, stuff like that, right? That has to be kind of a new thing.
Yeah. I mean, this survey was done in 2015. The study about credit scores was done in 2015, but it was so interesting, right? So basically, the higher your credit score, the less likely you'll split from your partner. And here's what's interesting. They really, got into the numbers of this. But for every 105-point uptick in a person's score, they were 32% less likely to divorce. You can see your score goes up 100 points, you are way less likely to divorce. And so, what's happening here is, the couples that had the lowest initial scores were 2 to 3 times more likely to separate than the couples with the highest average scores. So there is a huge discrepancy here in, people with super low credit scores more likely to divorce. Now, why this is, not clear, but you got to imagine there's some money fights. Both of you have a horrible credit score. You can't borrow money. You're always fighting about money. You know that money, causes the number one reason people fight to begin with in couples. So it's got to have something to do with that, but it's still a pretty scary number.
Yeah. Is there a magic number where there's sort of a safe zone or a path to true happiness when it comes to this stuff?
It's really the higher the better.
Yeah.
So you got that 800 credit score, you know, you got an excellent credit score, you're probably going to be better off. And again, I think that's just because people fight about money. And so when your credit scores are low and neither of you is good at money, there's going to probably be some issues, you know, and fights and all this other stuff coming up.
Mm. We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. She's looked at a couple of studies that indicate how your credit score might be a predictor of your marriage success. If your credit score is higher, you probably know a way out if you get in a jam, which could perhaps reduce the fights.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. These people have figured out, oh, well, I spent too much on my credit card this month, but they have a plan. They pay it off. They pay it on time. Some people just ignore it, stick it in the, you know, stick the credit card statement at the bottom of the drawer and hope it goes away. That's not really going to help your relationship either.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch, based in New York. By the way, there are more ways than ever to connect to America's First News on the go. You can download the This Morning with Gordon Deal app from the Apple or Google app stores. Also, social media-wise, you can like our Instagram page. It's simply This Morning with Gordon Deal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Attention, everyone. With Dell's President's Day sale, get monumental savings on Dell business PCs with Intel Core processors and business tech. Deals are live now with doorbusters up to 60% off on President's Day the 17th. Our small business technology advisors can help you find the right tech for your business at President's Day prices by calling 877-BUY-DELL. Plus, get free shipping on everything. Just call 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions and easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, and growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Dylan Miskowitz, COO of Cafe Altura, experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. But then he switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates faster. In fact, after posting his job to ZipRecruiter, Dylan said he was amazed by how quickly great candidates were applying and found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, February 10th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Democrat presidential candidates campaign in New Hampshire. China slowly returns to work as the coronavirus outbreak may be slowing. Report says Trump's budget proposal has safety net cuts. 29 people killed by a gunman at a mall in Thailand. British Airways flight flew from New York to London in 4 hours, 56 minutes yesterday, a record for speed that's slower than the speed of sound. Parasite won Best Picture at the Oscars, and the Texas restaurant that came through for a 3-year-old with cancer. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One is reimagining banking, offering accounts with no fees or minimums that can be opened in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One NA. After the app used to report results crashed and burned at the Iowa caucuses, Nevada has decided it will not use the same app for its primary on February 22nd. How could a developer let this happen on such a big stage? Analysis now from Lyra Logan, author of a new book called Learn to Program with App Inventor. She's also an MIT master trainer in educational mobile computing. Lyra, what'd you think when you heard about the problems in Iowa?
I started thinking, boy, I'm glad I didn't create that app. Because what, you know, when you put software out, as probably you and all of our listeners have experienced, you sometimes hear from the developer with a fix of a bug or something. You know, there little things can go wrong, but it's never on the news every night for an entire week. And, you know, it's been a bit of a fiasco with the kind of publicity because of the, you know, the nature of the app.
What do you suspect went wrong here, Lyra?
So I guess the biggest thing was the app just wasn't quite ready. I mean, we're still finding bugs and testing earlier in the week before they were going to use it. And so it just wasn't ready. And one of the big clues to that is that it was, according to all the news reports, it was deployed or distributed through some testing platforms as opposed to being downloadable from the App Store or the Google Play Store. Mm. So when you're, you know, when you're downloading an app from a site called Test Something, that's a clue that it's not quite ready. It still needs to be, you know, it's still in testing.
Yeah. I think it was the Wall Street Journal that reported there was a unit of the Department of Homeland Security that had offered to do testing on it. Why would you turn that down?
From what I gather from the other reports I read, they didn't want to disclose who the developer was because they wanted to kind of keep that secret so it couldn't be or wouldn't be hacked by anyone because nobody knew who developed it and knew how to find it. And so I think that was what I understand was the rationale for if they did turn that down. But, yeah, that then prevented, you know, the wide testing that's needed if you're hiding the app.
Yeah. We're speaking with Lyra Logan. She's author of a new book called Learn to Program with App Inventor. And we're talking about the disaster that was the Iowa caucus app. Surely there were signs. I mean, I'm not a tech person, but surely there were signs that there were going to be problems, no?
Yes. They say a month ago there were signs when they did do some testing and there were problems with it then. And then again, the people were having problems using it. And then again, it wasn't on the App Store and it wasn't on, you know, Google Play Store. So people had to, you know, you have to be particularly tech savvy to start downloading and installing apps that are not in those stores because those are considered non-market apps. And so then you got to bypass some of the security on your phone to get those apps in. So, mm-hmm. I mean, all of those were, you know, surely some red flags that said, you know, let's do it next year.
So is this company sunk now? Nevada has said they're not going to use the app on February 22nd for their primary. Is that the end of maybe this development of this company?
I don't know. But again, usually when you've got fixes for, you know, there's a bug with your app, I mean, that can happen, but it's usually not played out on this large scale. So it's going to be a challenge, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you, and this will occur way over my head when you start answering this. So if you are somebody who's interested in developing an app, I mean, are there some basics that you ought to be following that maybe this group did not?
Certainly there are. I think the big takeaway from this is test, 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 and test widely and with lots of users on lots of different types of devices, you know, all of the different operating systems, and certainly, you know, look for bugs and fix them. And but I mean, there are ways to, you know, I don't want this to dissuade people think it's too hard to build an app that doesn't have problems because there are ways and platforms you can use. And so in the book, Learn to Program with App Inventor, I'm using a platform to teach readers, beginners, how to create really sophisticated apps with cool mobile technology by using a platform that's drag and drop, and you drag and drop these blocks of code. So that eliminates that typing all that tedious code where if you miss one character or you forget something, you know, it's full of bugs. And so it's a platform that's easy to use. And so you learn how apps are supposed to work, how to create them, and you use this easier platform that's not going to frustrate you with all the bugs.
Thanks, Lyra. Lyra Logan, again, the book is called Learn to Program with App Inventor. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that pizza is great at bringing people together, and that goes for police and fugitives, apparently. In what some are calling a National Pizza Day miracle, a Kentucky sheriff found himself in a unique situation over the weekend. While on a trip to pick up pizzas for a local archery tournament, the sheriff bumped into a wanted fugitive. The incident was posted on Facebook by the Letcher County Sheriff's Office. Not to be deterred by his pizza mission, the sheriff took the suspect into custody, who had two outstanding warrants but is now facing additional charges. The sheriff's office shared an image of the items found on the suspect at the time of arrest, including a camouflage shotgun, several rounds of ammunition, large bolt cutters, and a substance that appears to be drugs.
Wow.
Appears to be.
Yeah, well, even if that substance turned out not to be drugs.
Yes.
If you're traveling around with bolt cutters.
Yeah. So there's enough other stuff. Is that what you're saying?
There's something going down. Yeah.
The drugs were just the icing on the cake in that right. particular situation. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people are praising the sheriff for basically, you know, dropping the whole pizza situation.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
probably had an armful of boxes of pizza.
Right.
Said, oh, you know what? I should probably do my job here.
Yeah.
Even it's the weekend and I'm kind of off duty.
Right.
So good for him.
So I presume he was going to attend the archery
yes,
tournament.
Yes. And I guess he was picking up pizza.
And he was the pizza guy for
the everyone.
Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be about 30 minutes late.
Yeah.
I got to process the suspect and fill out some paperwork.
Yes,
and then I'll be back.
And the pizza will probably be cold, but
yeah, right.
maybe perhaps we can get to some right. fresh fries.
Good for him.
And it's that time of year again, Gordon, where those with a Valentine get ready to cozy up this weekend, and those who don't start naming disgusting animals after their exes. In a new twist on the recent phenomenon of naming a cockroach after your ex, popularized by the Bronx Zoo and others, the San Antonio Zoo is hosting their first ever Cry Me a Cockroach event. You can name a live cockroach after someone who did you wrong, and the insect will then be fed to one of the zoo's animals. Now, that, you have to pay for that. That'll cost you $5.
Okay.
And if you need a bigger representation of your ex for $25, the zoo will even let you name a rat, which will then be fed to one of their reptiles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're stepping it up a notch
that's
here.
That's double next level stuff.
Yes. All this will go down on Valentine's Day Friday. If you're not able to make it to the event in Texas, the zoo will be live streaming all the feedings on their website throughout the day. So
wow.
theoretically, I guess you could buy one of these online and
yeah.
then you could watch throughout the day to see when, you know, your ex gets
wow.
fed.
Very clever. The rat one, though, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's taking it up a notch here.
Right. That's because in theory, it gets dropped in the snake tank or whatever.
Yes.
Right? And then you just wait.
Yeah.
And
that,
wait.
And that one,
when
yeah.
will Melissa
yeah, right,
get
right,
eaten
right.
alive by the snake, right?
And that takes a while, right? That could potentially take
Oof,
a while, right?
Right?
Swallow whole and just kind of wait and sit
yeah.
there.
Yeah. I mean, you can make this like a whole night. Invite your friends over, place bets. Right? How long will it take for
Ooh.
The snake to eat the rat?
Never thought of the gambling aspect
wow.
of this, Gordon.
You, of all people, didn't think of the gambling aspect, Mike? 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. There are more ways than ever, by the way, to connect to America's First News. For example, you can tell Alexa, Google, or Siri to play This Morning with Gordon Deal. For more on all the ways to find our show at home, in the car, or on the run, visit the Find Us page at thismorningwithgordondeal.com. How tempted have you ever been to put a hammer through your alarm clock on a Monday? CNET.com looked at data from RMIT University in Australia, where researchers investigated how alarm tones and wake-up music tie into sleep inertia, which is the feeling of grogginess some people experience in the morning. The effects of sleep inertia can last for hours. The team asked 50 participants to fill out an online survey on the type of alarm sound that they use. They also rated their grogginess and alertness. The co-author of the study says, "We think that a harsh beep, beep, beep might work to disrupt or confuse our brain activity when waking, while a more melodic sound like the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations or The Cure's Close to Me may help us transition to a waking state in a more effective way. This doesn't necessarily mean you should abandon your shrieking banshee of an alarm, but CNET says it might be worth experimenting with some rhythmic and melodic wake-up music instead." 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, the death toll from the coronavirus has surpassed 900, while more than 40,000 have been sickened. Japan is reporting dozens of new cases aboard a quarantine cruise ship. Homeland Security Acting Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli spoke with Fox.
You can't completely contain something brand new like this that we're still learning about every day. But with the steps we're taking at our airports, our seaports, and at our land ports of entry, we are prepared and we're executing an effective layered strategy to keep America safe.
Number two, South Korean film Parasite has been named Best Picture at the Oscars, becoming the first non-English language film to take the top prize. Renee Zellweger won Best Actress for playing Judy Garland. Joaquin Phoenix was named Best Actor for Joker. Brad Pitt and Laura Dern took the supporting acting awards. Parasite won 4 awards in total, while 1917 took 3. The World War I epic had been the favorite to win Best Picture. Number 3, 2 U.S. service members were killed over the weekend after a firefight broke out in Afghanistan. 6 other U.S. soldiers were wounded. Elsewhere, authorities in northern Thailand have begun releasing bodies to relatives after security forces cornered and killed a soldier who carried out the country's worst mass shooting in an hours-long siege at a shopping mall. The soldier killed 29 people, starting with his commanding officer, in a stunning tragedy that began Saturday and ended yesterday morning when security forces shot dead the heavily armed attacker. Authorities say the gunman was infuriated by a land deal brokered by his commander's mother-in-law. Drought, wildfires, and now flooding has given Australia's weather an almost biblical feel this year. The good news is that a recent deluge in eastern parts of the country has drenched deadly fires and helped ease a crippling drought. But experts say it will take some time yet to know to what extent the rainfall has replenished dried up rivers and quenched parched soil in some inland areas most affected by the 3-year drought. The highest paid actor in the world, Forbes says, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who earned $89.4 million last year. Johnson's millions came in part from his $23.5 million upfront salary for Jumanji and the $700,000 he earns for every episode of HBO's Ballers. Scarlett Johansson was the highest paid actress with $56 million in earnings.
$700,000 for every episode.
No, it's not bad. That's what we make every morning, isn't it?
That is raking it. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next, the Texas restaurant that went the extra mile for a little girl with cancer. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Supporting our entire workforce, everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. Motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top,
top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. Glad you're with us. Adelaide Stanley can't go out in public or be around people. 7 months of cancer treatment has left the 3-year-old with a weakened immune system, but she still wanted to dine at her favorite restaurant. When Jay Wilson's in Beaumont, Texas, heard their tiny customer's desire, they responded. The hospital and restaurant had been the two places that were regular stops for the family. CNN says last month Adelaide recognized this restaurant sign while on the interstate and asked her parents if they could go inside. With a broken heart, her dad explained why they could not. Adelaide's mom told her friend about the sad moment. Her friend reached out to the restaurant. The manager opened the restaurant an hour early to accommodate Adelaide and her family. The staff even decorated the restaurant with Adelaide's favorite color, pink, and made her favorite food, biscuits. Then there was one final surprise, no charge for the meal. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.